Today's episode of Dog Nation Daily is presented by Kroger. More ways to save fresh food, low prices at Kroger.
Presented by DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
So I saw something kind of interesting on the internet this morning, and I wanted to use that as kind of a starting point for our program here today. Hey, everybody, welcome in. Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger on a Friday. I was looking around, and sometimes I like to kind of check in on the major national websites, just to kind of see what like the national talking heads, or in this case, I guess, typing heads, the national media is saying about Georgia. CBSSports.com, like right there at the main page, headline, above the fold type deal, they had one of their NFL mock drafts. Now, I realize there are like 9 million NFL mock drafts. They change constantly. When it comes to this far out into the future, they are notoriously wrong. I'm sort of very much aware of all of that. But I could not help but notice that on the list from CBS Sports, Georgia running back DeAndre Swift comes in at number 19 on that list. Number 19 overall, the guy who's writing this, not a writer that I was necessarily all that familiar with, but a guy writing this, and I'll put a link to this when we post the show with the worldfamousdognation.com a little later on today, but he had Swift going number 19 overall to the Chargers. Now, we don't do NFL talk on this show, but I will say for 2 seconds, it's kind of funny that obviously if Swift were to go to San Diego, that's essentially a replacement for Melvin Gordon, which make this like the worst holdout in pro football history, but you don't care about that. You want to talk about Georgia football, and it's not a surprise to me necessarily that NFL draft scouts might be looking a little more closely at Swift, and certainly the media that covers the NFL draft definitely looking a little bit more closely at Swift because of what he's done through the first 4 games for Georgia. I think one of the really interesting storylines thus far is what I thought would be kind of an ensemble cast of UGA running backs. I made a case a lot during the offseason that it wouldn't surprise me if we saw about 3 Georgia running backs share carries and productivity and therefore glory fairly equally. I was thinking it would be Brian Herring. I was thinking it would be DeAndre Swift. I was thinking it would be Zamir White in that group too. But through 4 games, including the most important game that Georgia's played thus far against Notre Dame this past Saturday, you certainly get the impression that when the game matters most, Georgia's going to go to DeAndre Swift. And the NFL, the media that covers the league, the scouts that populate the league with talent, they may notice. In fact, one of the things they may notice is seemingly how pleased Kirby Smart is with what Swift did this past Saturday against the Fighting Irish. Let me give you a couple short examples that Kirby Smart, the kind of compliments that he does not throw around lightly. Here is a short one and a quick one. Kirby very pleased with DeAndre Swift.
There were some really large hearts out there tonight. One, DeAndre Swift, who ran the ball with passion, guts, and just relentless effort.
Yeah, sometimes passion, guts, relentless effort, that doesn't show up in the stat sheet because the overall stat numbers for DeAndre Swift won't look as good in that game as maybe some of the games that he had in 2018 or some of the games that he will have for the rest of the season in 2019. But as Georgia got better at running the ball late in the game, it was Swift who was providing that, and it was Swift who was getting those tough yards. It's almost like the symbolic nature of a superstar performance, and I don't think that's too big of a statement to use for Swift right now. He's one of the proven, trusted stars on this team, the kind of guy you lean on in key moments, and he came up big for Georgia this past Saturday. Here's Kirby Smart again on his faith in Swift when the game and the plays mattered most.
If number 7 is running the ball like he was running the ball, it's hard to give the ball to anybody else. I mean, the guy was making people miss, running possessed.
So listen, as I said before, if that's what Smart's saying coming off the game against Notre Dame, you better believe that NFL draft scouts are also noticing that as well, and you better believe the media that covers the intentions of those draft scouts, they're going to notice that too, which from that standpoint, it's not a surprise to see Swift mentioned number 19 overall in a CBS Sports mock draft. Now, at this point in the program, I know what some of y'all are saying. B.A., what are you doing? You trying to wish Swift out the door? You trying to swiftly move him on, no pun intended, into the NFL? You trying to get him out of Athens? No, I am not. Obviously, I've enjoyed watching DeAndre Swift these last 3 seasons and can't wait to watch every other carry he gets the rest of his career here at UGA. But facts are facts, and let's face the facts here for a moment. The fact that DeAndre Swift is likely leaving at the end of the season and could have a chance to be a first-round pick, that has already helped Georgia's recruiting efforts, and it might help them even more. If you don't believe me, let me give you an example. Do you remember Kendall Milton when he was first talking about his relationship with Georgia? When he was first talking about why it was that he felt confident to commit to the University of Georgia, one of the things that he said pretty candidly is that the situation for how he'd be used at Georgia and the fact that he believes that Swift is on his way to the NFL, that was a major factor in his decision to come to UGA. If you don't believe me, here is Milton in his own words, as told to our buddy UGA Dog Nation recruiting insider Jeff Sintel. Here's Kendall Milton.
They answered all questions. They wanted to get me all the information I needed to know that would make me successful at Georgia, and they did that very good. I like the situation, you know, to be able to come in and play early, you know, with DeAndre Swift leaving. So that was probably the biggest thing for me.
I mean, listen, you can't gloss over that. Kendall Milton, who had his choice of anywhere he wanted to go, his list of finalists were all the major programs, all of which that need running backs and use running backs well. And he said, listen, I became very interested in Georgia because of how I was told I'd be used here and the fact that when I look and see a guy like DeAndre Swift, I'm assuming he's on his way to the NFL. So I don't wish Swift out the door at Georgia, but the fact that he is likely leaving to go to the NFL keeps that pipeline of RBU kind of open and flowing. And then one more thing from Kendall Milton here. Let's say that this media guy at CBS Sports turns out to be right. Let's say that DeAndre Swift keeps doing the things that he's doing right now. And Georgia gets itself another high-profile NFL running back going in the first round. Now, Chubb didn't go in the first round, but he's, you know, essentially a major part of the Cleveland Browns offense. Sony Michel won the Super Bowl last year for New England. Todd Gurley, at one point in time, was arguably among the top players in the entire NFL. Not just this historic level of Georgia running backs dating back to Herschel Walker, but this recent trend of guys who've had great success in the league. If DeAndre Swift truly does become the next name added to that list after this year, having been coached by the current Georgia running backs coach Del McGee, then my gosh, how much easier does that make it for Georgia to recruit the next generation of Kendall Milton? Maybe even another back here for this 2020 class there as well. And if you don't believe how significant that recent trend of RBU dominance has been for Georgia, take a listen to Kendall Milton again in his own words.
It's huge to me, you know, especially Coach McGee, you know, coaching a majority of those backs. So it just shows that he knows what he's doing. He knows how to get people to the league, and that's my end goal that I want. So, you know, that attracts me.
I mean, listen, I say this all the time. I think this is one of the most important maxims when it comes to football. You've got to make sure your number one strength stays strong. For Georgia, its number one strength, both on the field and in recruiting, is the legacy it's established at the running back position. The fact that the current running backs coach, Del McGee, has coached so many good ones at UGA, and the fact that both historically and in contemporary fashion, Georgia running backs are going on to do big things at the NFL. They become first-round picks, they make a lot of money, and they go and generate a bunch of highlights on the NFL Sundays. DeAndre Swift, if he keeps up what he's doing right now, could indeed be the next one of those. And you better believe, as he's showing out on Sundays, the dividends will be reaped by Georgia for a long time to come. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented today by Kroger. Good to have you with us. No matter how you get to us, live on video, 10 a.m., Dog Nation. Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, radio at noon, Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, or we are available as a podcast, the Apple Podcast Player, the Google Podcast Player, the world-famous DogNation.com. No matter how you get them, we're glad you found us here today and really appreciate Kroger for making the program possible. By the way, speaking of our friends at Kroger, I wanted to make sure that you are very well aware that even though the weather's kind of hot right now, it will be getting cooled off here at some point in time, which means that all that fall stuff you love, including the pumpkin stuff, you can enjoy that with your friends at Kroger. You can save on everything that's pumpkin-related. Pumpkin spice coffee, pumpkin pies, pumpkin-scented candles. It will get you in the fall spirit. Even though you may be wearing shorts and short sleeves and everything else, a little taste of autumn never did anybody any wrong. And Kroger can give that for you right now. So it's good to have Kroger with us as a part of Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans here today. Quick programming note, normally on Fridays is our buddy Jeff Sintel to talk about UGA recruiting. Jeff not with us today. We're instead going to get a preview of next Saturday's game for Georgia against Tennessee. Jimmy Hyams, friend of the program, been here with us on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger before. He does radio there. Knoxville has covered the Tennessee program for a long time. Interesting insight on Vols fans quickly turning on Jim Chaney, maybe. Growing sour when it comes to Jeremy Pruitt, and maybe completely hopeless when it comes to next Saturday's game against UGA. If you're a UGA fan that likes to see Tennessee wallowing in misery, you may love this coming up with Jimmy Hyams in just a moment. We will get an update from him on what the feeling really is like in Knoxville right now. Before any of that, though, let's go around the doghouse. It's presented today by Merriweather and Tharp, and I want to give you a couple more updates from some of the things that Kirby Smart has talked about this week. Two very important points, maybe points of debate in some regard, but certainly important points that Smart himself addressed going back to last Saturday's game against Notre Dame. First of all, one of the trends, and I know we've done this on some of our comment section stuff the last few days. I think we may have done this a little bit on Before the Hedges presented by Kroger this past Wednesday. I'm just a really big believer in the value of transfers. Now, the batting average on these guys is never going to be 1,000. You're not going to be 100% perfect at bringing in transfers to your program and having them do big things. But when you have a chance to bring in a guy that's got major college experience, that has a way more times than not of paying off and providing some real value to you. On Saturday, that was certainly an example for Georgia. Lawrence Cager targeted 5 times, comes up with 5 big catches for UGA. Eli Wolf, the tight end position, has been doing a lot of things, maybe even more than I think the average fan would have assumed he would do. Frankly, even maybe more than I would have assumed he would have done for UGA up to this point in time. These transfer players have really provided a pretty significant spark for Georgia. Now, you can also add DJ Daniel to this a little bit. He's a transfer from a junior college. That's a little bit different kind of situation. But guys that played college football elsewhere last year doing big things for Georgia, it's been a little bit of a theme so far this season for the Dogs. And here's what Kirby Smart said about that earlier this week.
Those guys were all good players where they were last year. I mean, Wolf was he went to the SEC media days. I mean, Lawrence Cager was a major factor for Miami, and DJ was his team's leading corner. So, I mean, they're good football players. We're just thankful and blessed to have recruited them and also prepared them to play in big games. That's why they came. They wanted to play these big games. I think they're good players, and they fit well in our system. They all three, I mean, we needed Eli Wolf, we needed Lawrence Cager, and we needed DJ Daniel. So they fit needs we needed, and they've played well.
One of my favorite things about the, for lack of a better phrase, like Kirby Smart doctrine that's in place at Georgia is that you bring in a bunch of talented players. Some of them are young and talented. Some of them are experienced and talented. Some of them are talented and got their experience playing for some other school. You bring them all together. You kind of put them in a pot during a very hot summer's worth of practices, or in some cases, spring practices. You let them battle each other in rep after rep after rep, and then you assume that the cream is going to rise to the top. And that's a very, probably by my account, overly simplistic explanation of what Smart tries to do, but when it all boils down to it, the essence of Smart's philosophy at Georgia, I think, is a little bit simple. That if you bring in enough good players and you practice them in enough intense conditions, by the time it's ready to you're ready to play games, you have a pretty good idea of who belongs on the field. And pretty clearly, Cager and Wolf have shown that they belong, and they are big contributors to Georgia right now. It's a credit to the Dogs, who've recruited high school guys at an unprecedented rate, that they don't just sit on those laurels and say, hey, you know, to quote Norman Dale from Hoosiers, my team's on the field, we already feel pretty good about what we have. No, there's always that look of good roster, but how can it get a little bit better? Good roster, but how can we plus it, just that 1% more? And that's what Cager and Wolf have kind of provided for Georgia, that extra 1%. And that could be a major difference. Clearly it was on Saturday against Notre Dame. Now, one more thing about the game against the Fighting Irish. We have certainly debated on here, and I love that if you're watching a video, that picture of Kirby Smart right there where he's kind of exhaling at the end of that game. I apologize if you're radio podcast, you don't get to see that. But that picture, maybe as much as anything, is kind of like the classic look of what it was really like after the game against the Fighting Irish on Saturday, that, whew, we held on, we won this football game. But there'll be this ongoing debate amongst fans, and heaven knows we've done this. Did Georgia prove how good it was by winning close, or did it prove it's got some problems to address by the fact that it didn't vanquish the Irish in more absolute fashion than it did? I thought Kirby Smart had something kind of interesting to say about that this week, too. So here's a part of Around the Doghouse presented by Merriweather and Tharp. Let's hear Smart on that.
I personally like them better when you beat them, you know, and it's a little more decided. But there's going to be games like that. I mean, that's critical. I 100% think when you play in the SEC, you're going to play games like that week in and week out. I don't know who it's going to be. I don't know which one it's going to be. But everybody's going to look at the Las Vegas Lions and say, well, they're supposed to beat this team. Those games are going to come down to those crunch time plays and decisions and opportunities. And the only way you get better at them is be in them. So at least we gain some confidence from the fact we played in it. And I can acknowledge that that is helpful, that we got a little, you know, hey, we can handle this adversity.
Oftentimes in life, more than one thing is true at the same time. Admittedly, I believe that the first part of Smart Statement's the most true, that great teams prove their greatness by avoiding close games, not necessarily by winning close games. However, there's no doubt that Georgia can gain some confidence for itself, but the fact that it asserted itself a bit more in the second half this past Saturday than it did in the first, I think that's pretty good there by Georgia coach Kirby Smart. It's Around the Doghouse. It's presented by Merriweather and Tharp. And, of course, as you know, divorce is the kind of thing that people don't really like talking about, right? And you better believe if you don't like talking about it, you definitely don't like going through it. And some of you, unfortunately, if just based on the stats, listening to me right now, may find yourself either on the verge of going through this or actually in the throes of this. And if you are in the midst of this at the moment, I hope you got a great advocate like Merriweather and Tharp on your side. And if you're beginning this process or thinking it might be on the way, here's what I can tell you that's really cool about Merriweather and Tharp. They want to provide answers to some of the really tough questions that you probably have. And a lot of this is free. Their blog posts, their podcasts, there's even a free initial consultation that, you know, Merriweather and Tharp, they just want to be a friend for you during this really, really difficult time, and you need that. The good news is things can be put back together, and you will one day feel whole again. But while you're going through this, it's important to have an advocate, and that is what my friends at Merriweather and Tharp are. You can find them online, and I hope you'll write this website down. It's theatlantadivorceteam.com. theatlantadivorceteam.com. That'll get you in touch with Merriweather and Tharp. All right, it's great to have you with us here today on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger. I hope you enjoy Jimmy Hyams right now.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
So Jimmy Hyams gets the Dog Nation insider music. We'll adopt him into the Dog Nation family, at least for one day, I guess, here a little bit on that. He has certainly been covering Tennessee for a long time. Nobody knows the scene around Knoxville better, and that's a scene that Georgia fans are about to get very much acquainted with as the Dogs head there next Saturday from WNML, really good sports radio station there in the city of Knoxville. It's Jimmy Hyams back here on Dog Nation Daily once again. Jimmy, thanks for spending time with us today. I really appreciate you being with us and hope you're doing well. It's going to be a big one next Saturday for Georgia against Tennessee there in Knoxville. Obviously, maybe a little bit bigger for Georgia right now than it is Tennessee. You know, you're there in Knoxville. You know the feeling of fans on this right now. I mean, what is the mood? And I guess at this point in time, you know, given the fact that the Vols didn't play very well at Florida last week, you know, I guess what is the feeling of Tennessee's chances of being competitive at all with Georgia next Saturday?
There's complete frustration among this fan base, and not a whole lot of folks in the Vol Nation that think Tennessee can compete with Georgia. And I don't think Tennessee can compete with Georgia, not yet. Georgia's a far superior team. They're better at quarterback. They're better at the line of scrimmage. They're better in most areas against Tennessee. And Tennessee, for goodness sakes, they lost to Georgia State, which then lost to Western Michigan 57-10 and gave up 450 rushing yards. Tennessee, there's been a disconnect, in my opinion, between Tennessee's coaching staff and the players. The coaching staff on paper looks good. Tennessee's players on paper, they've got plenty of 4- and 5-star players, not as many as Georgia or Alabama or LSU, but they've got almost 40 players on the roster that were 4- or 5-star players, and there's just been a disconnect for whatever reason. It's kind of hard to explain, but I did ask Jeremy Pruitt the other day, is your team playing without confidence? And he said, well, we've got a lot of players on our team that have become numb to losing. That's not a good sign.
Yeah, that's a really well-put statement there. That's not the feeling you want. The other thing, the point I've kind of made in the past is you know, Pruitt didn't speak to reporters when he was in Alabama. He spoke to reporters some when he was at Georgia, but I don't think of him as particularly adept at using the media to his advantage. I don't think of him as a smooth talker necessarily, nor do I, certainly from the outside looking in, does it seem like he has many allies among the Knoxville media right now. He had the weird thing that he said this week about how this team is 100 times better than last year's team was. That, to my, the best I can tell, was not very well received by media or fans either one. How good is Pruitt right now at making his own case for why he's the one to fix all this?
Well, going back to your comment earlier about dealing with the media, last year he wasn't very good at all. He's better this year, and he's more comfortable in doing it. But I was talking to somebody this morning about whoever gave him that line about we're 100 times better, shouldn't have done it. And I said, I don't think anybody gave it to him. I think he came up with that one. But there are not a whole lot of things to look at so far that would make you optimistic. This is just a statement of fact. If you go back to the first 16 games of Tennessee coaches in their history, only two have a worse record after 16 games than Pruitt. One of them coached in the early 1900s, and the other one was John Majors, who took over a major rebuilding job. He was 5-10-1. Pruitt is 6-10. If I were to look at two things that have been pretty good about Tennessee under Pruitt, he's got a freshman class. They signed 19 freshmen.
Yeah.
And somebody who's very close to the program told me there's not a bust in the group. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
If you go 19 for 19, that's pretty darn good. The other thing is, on paper, he's got a good-looking staff. But this staff has not done, in my opinion, a very good job. They didn't get the team ready for Georgia State. They did not go into prevent defense against Brigham Young when they had the Cougars backed up. Those are two coaching blunders that I think have led to a 1-3 start rather than 3-1.
Do you think that Tennessee fans still view Georgia as a rival, or are they so sort of, I guess, frustrated by their own situation, they're not thinking much about rivals? We know the numbers against Florida haven't been good now for about a decade and a half. You know, we can all remember back when Georgia-Tennessee was one of the games you had circled on the calendar. Next Saturday, do Tennessee fans kind of put that, you know, their own issues with their own team aside and look forward to cheering against Georgia, or is there even that feeling in Knoxville right now?
Well, I don't know that they look at Georgia as a rival. I think they're more concerned about what's happened with this program and how can it get better. And I don't know that you could find a whole lot of people that around here that think Tennessee's going to beat Georgia. I'm not one of them. I certainly don't see that. And some odds maker sent me a deal, said that Georgia's going to be favored by about 28. I guess we'll see.
Wow.
Of course, Tennessee's favored by 26 against York State and lost, so we know crazy things can happen. But the other thing about Georgia, I'm hearing Georgia is going to pack Neyland Stadium. They had over, 30,000 for the game at Notre Dame in 2017.
Yeah.
They had about 30,000 for the Vanderbilt game August 31. And I was told they're planning a red out. Not a red-black checkerboard, but a red out. Maybe they'll do both. I don't know. I know that Georgia bought their allotment of 6,500 tickets. That's all they get. But I wouldn't be surprised to see at least 20,000 Georgia fans in the stands. And that's the thing that gets the attention of the administration, the board of trustees, and the decision makers whenever you've got the opposing team taking over your stadium. And Tennessee's attendance this year has not been very good either. That's another issue.
Yeah, I think that's a very important thing to keep your eye on. It has been certainly true that a lot of Georgia fans have talked about the idea of having a big showing there next Saturday. That'll be interesting to follow and pay attention to. What about Jim Chaney for a moment? That's obviously a name that Georgia fans know really well, offensive coordinator. Now, Jimmy, you've been around for a long time. You know that offensive coordinators often aren't popular. Chaney sometimes wasn't popular with UGA fans, but it was certainly a high-profile move when he left Athens to go to Knoxville. And it's hard for me to tell if the issue with the Tennessee offense right now is maybe due to his play calling, due to an offensive line that seems to be struggling. Garantano, the quarterback, certainly has seemed to have his issues. How much of the struggles of what's going on for Tennessee this year do you put at the feet of Jim Chaney?
That's a hard question to answer. I would have to put some there, but it is difficult if you've got a quarterback that's not playing well and you got an offensive lineman that's not at an SEC standard. You still should beat Brigham Young and Georgia State, okay? And you still should be more competitive against Florida. But for whatever reason, in my opinion, there's a disconnect between Jim Chaney and Jared Garantano. Is Chaney asking Garantano to do too much? One of the things Garantano talked about before the season was he loved the idea of Chaney putting more responsibility on him. Checks at the line of scrimmage, putting the offensive line in the right pass protection, getting everybody lined up. And I'm wondering if maybe Garantano's overloaded. Maybe that's not the smart thing to do. Maybe they should take some of that off his plate and just call the play and not give him any responsibility in terms of checking off at the line and doing those things. And Garantano, he had a tendency a year ago to steer receivers down. It's worse this year. And that's one reason I think he had so many passes tipped against Florida. It's one reason he's thrown more interceptions this year than he did all of last year. But when your quarterback is playing as poorly as Garantano. Your offensive line isn't very good. Your offensive will be very good. I don't care how good you're. Maybe if you got Herschel Walker and, I don't know, Jerry Rice and Jerry Jeudy at receiver, maybe you can do something. But Tennessee doesn't have that. Tennessee has got talent at receiver and at running back. But they have just not been able to be consistently productive. And does that fall some on Chaney not putting Garantano in position to be successful? Maybe. But it's really hard for me to completely discern that.
We appreciate your time and being with us here today. Let me do a couple quick things before we let you go. Where is Philip Fulmer in all of this? I gather that Fulmer with Tennessee fans is popular. There are some people outside of Knoxville that kind of mock him sometimes because we see him wearing coaching gear and things like that. It almost from afar seems like he wouldn't mind, you know, sliding back into that sideline position that he was in the past. How do Vols fans feel about Fulmer right now, and do they trust him to make the evaluation on Pruitt going forward?
Well, I think most of the fans here like Fulmer, although some are like, no, wait a minute, we gave you the benefit of the doubt on hiring this guy Pruitt and what's he done. So there's a little bit of a wonderment. Look, Fulmer's not going to say anything. He's not going to come out. Some people think he should come out and show support for Pruitt. A lot of times I've seen a person in the administration give a vote of confidence, and then 2 weeks later the coach is fired. I don't think Fulmer's going to put himself in a position to do something like that. So he's kind of gone quiet on this deal. But there are some people wondering about Fulmer. And here's the thing. Some think, hey, if you got to fire Pruitt, you got to fire Fulmer. Fulmer hired Pruitt. But I would also argue, and the Fulmer camp would tell you, and this is accurate, when he became the athletic director, there weren't as many fish in the pond to pick from as there were when John Curry was the AD. If Fulmer had been the AD at the very start and made the decision to hire a coach, I don't think it would be Pruitt. But Tennessee went through, they waited on Dan Mullen, he goes to Florida. They had Greg Schiano, and that got blown up. They talked to Chad Morris at Arkansas. They talked to Braun at Purdue. They talked to Dorn at NC State. And I think they even tried to O'Brien with the Houston Texans, and they couldn't get any of them. And so, and then they had Mike Leach on the hook, but they fired Curry. So would Fulmer have hired any of those guys? I don't know. I don't know if he'd have got it done. But I will say this. When it came his time to try to hire a coach, there just weren't that many options. So I'm not sure if it's 100% fair to blame Fulmer for hiring Pruitt.
Well, Jimmy, it is really great to have you here on the program. I know it's a interesting radio show you have to do every single day to, at least right now, with Tennessee fans. We're not happy with the current state of their program, but we appreciate you giving us a little insight as to what might happen next Saturday. For people who want to know more about some of the stuff that you're doing and some of the coverage you're providing there in Knoxville, how can UGA fans kind of get in touch with you online?
Well, you can find us at sportsradiownml.com. We do a blog a couple times a week. Also, my Twitter account is at Jimmy Himes. At one time, I had 24 fake accounts, so please be careful when you go to at Jimmy Himes. You can find the right one. That's another way to follow us. And you can get us on iHeartRadio. And if you're in this area, you can find us at 99.1 FM, 990 AM. We're on from 3 to 7, and we do three weekend shows, a pregame show, postgame show, and a Sunday morning show.
Great to hear, Jimmy. Thanks for your time here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger. Really appreciate you being with us today.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Good stuff there. Jimmy Himes, WNML. He's been around the Tennessee scene for a long time. If you want to know the true facts on the ground there, he certainly provides that. There are a couple of interesting things that Jimmy brings up I want to make sure we talk about here before we kind of move on to discuss something else. Before that, though, let me remind you about my friends at the Atlanta and North Georgia Building Trades Council. This is a great organization for those of you who kind of do this kind of construction work for a living, because one of the things they're going to do is give you a chance to just have a better quality of life and make more money. I'm talking about economic stability here, which is a very important thing. You can earn as much as $100,000 while serving in an apprenticeship. I'm talking about earn while you learn, no tuition apprentice training. It's employer-paid pension and insurance. Wages up to 30% higher than non-union workers. And this isn't just for men. Women and everyone else is encouraged to apply. So if you are a part of this industry, make sure you check this out. Let's see that one more time, please, if you don't mind. The Atlanta North Georgia Building Trades Council. You can get in touch with them online at GeorgiaConstructionCareers.com. GeorgiaConstructionCareers.com, or you can give them a call at 404-584-0005. That number once again, 404-584-0005. All right, a couple things that Jimmy had to say there that I think are really pretty interesting for us today. First of all, we talked about this yesterday. The push by Georgia fans to fill the stadium next Saturday. Isn't it interesting that a guy that lives in Knoxville, as a radio host, speaks to Tennessee fans every single day, clearly they've gotten the word about that, and clearly his audience is certainly concerned that Georgia fans may do that. Now, I'm still not of the belief that you're going to see red and black checkerboard all across Neyland Stadium next Saturday, but the fact that it's even being mentioned as a possibility, I think just speaks to, first of all, the reputation that Georgia fans have established themselves. Here's a guy in Knoxville, clearly aware of what UGA fans did 2 years ago in South Bend. You can add that to the list of what Georgia did this past, you know, beginning of the season in Nashville, when the entirety of the stadium almost was Georgia red. At least the overwhelming majority of that was Georgia red. So one way or another, it is likely to be a very big, big Georgia showing next Saturday. Lots of red, lots of black. Does it end up looking coordinated? Listen, I wouldn't put anything past UGA fans when it comes to that. But one way or another, this will be probably another one of those trophies on that list of stadium takeovers for UGA. It's going to probably be pretty significant there in Knoxville because the Vols fans are apparently already pretty concerned about that. The other thing that you couldn't help but notice when talking to Jimmy, and I do think this is kind of interesting, not so much for the game next Saturday, but kind of for the long-term future of Jeremy Pruitt. You know, one of the things that makes Pruitt's situation a little bit different than Kirby's was, even in 2016, now Kirby was never struggling as bad in 2016 as Pruitt seemingly is struggling in year two right now, but there was always that thought of, hey, wait till Kirby recruits his guys. Wait till you get the recruiting class going. Even during the 2016 season, there was a lot of optimism that the 2017 recruiting class was going to be a good one for Georgia. And I think the Georgia coaches believe they had an even better run building towards 2018, even when some fans didn't necessarily believe that. There was always this like recruiting thing to look at and see on the horizon. You just heard Jimmy Hyams say, at least what you read between the lines on is that Tennessee fans aren't doing that right now when it comes to Pruitt's 2020 class. Even though seemingly he's got a lot of early playing time to sell, and I think almost every Georgia fan at this point would say Tennessee's relationship with like a guy like a Rick Gilbert's probably better than Georgia's is. But somehow those things aren't quite working out to develop any kind of optimism on the part of Tennessee. The one thing that Pruitt's supposedly good at, recruiting, doesn't seem to be earning him a lot of favor right now. It is an odd time at Tennessee, where you've got throngs of fans who gave their patience to guys who probably didn't deserve it. Guys like Butch Jones, guys like Derek Dooley, at least as a head coach, maybe the late stages, even the Philip Fulmer era. They gave a lot of that patience over to guys that weren't necessarily good stewards of that patience. And now you have a very restless fan base, and Jeremy Pruitt's not providing them what they need. Georgia goes to Tennessee next Saturday, and they're going to find themselves a messy, messy situation with Big Orange.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
All right, so great to have Jimmy Hyams as a part of Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger here today. Very interesting stuff. Let me now look at some of the other games coming up this weekend. We'll do that as part of our MyBookie Best Bets. And, of course, my friends at MyBookie, one of the great ways to make this weekend more entertaining, if your favorite team is not playing, which obviously it isn't, the Georgia Bulldogs have the week off, you can make somebody your favorite team of the moment by getting a bet down on them. And if you've never done this before, MyBookie makes it really easy to get started, and they've got a great perk for you when you sign up, a deposit bonus. You can get up to a $1,000 deposit bonus. You can get up to, they'll double your first deposit in some cases. So also great player perks as you play with them throughout the season. So simply find MyBookie online. Type this into your browser, MyBookie. Type MyBookie into your browser, find MyBookie online, and use the promo code DOGNATION. That's all one word, spelled the way it's supposed to be, DAWG. You want all those things I said before? The deposit bonus, kind of put more money in your account. You're almost like a winner before you even start. You've got to use the promo code DOGNATION to make that happen. After that, you play, you get paid. You actually get a win first. You play, you win, you get paid. It's as simple as that at MyBookie. Find them online, MyBookie. Use the promo code DOGNATION. And after that, well, best of luck to you. All right, so let's talk about a few of these games here this weekend. A lot of really big spreads in the SEC. And in some cases, this weekend provides a little bit of a look ahead as to what to expect from a Georgia fans' perspective going forward. A&M in Dallas, they play this game at Jerry World every year. Huge favorite against Arkansas. I think Arkansas is one of the worst teams in the country. I've tried to back them before against other bad teams. Just can't do it. Arkansas is as bad as it gets. A&M desperately needs a win. I think they bully Arkansas on Saturday. Take them no matter what the number is. It's a 23.5 right now, but I would take them even more than that. Ole Miss, I think, is now going to quit on their season. I thought they got jobbed by some pretty suspicious officiating this past Saturday when they hosted Cal. I thought they deserved a review near the end of the game. They did not get it. John Rhys Plumlee probably starting in Bryant-Denny Stadium. That is probably the recipe for a disaster, although Plumlee did not play badly when he came in for Matt Corral last week. Alabama is, that half point matters here, 35.5 point favorites versus Ole Miss. But they've scored, I want to say, 60-plus 2 years in a row against Ole Miss. Probably do that again on Saturday. I think the over's a great play here. But minus 35.5, Alabama dominates Ole Miss. Here's another game that Georgia fans ought to be watching for closely. How for real is Auburn? Two of the biggest wins anyone's gotten thus far in the 2019 season. Neutral site versus Oregon last week at Texas A&M. But can they come home as a relatively sizable favorite against Mississippi State, a team that I don't think is very good, but the Bulldogs did find a win last week against Kentucky. Can Auburn make this look easy? I believe they probably will. I believe that Auburn is in a comfortable spot right here, but this is definitely one worth watching just to see how comfortable Auburn makes this look. I think the Mississippi State offense is not great. You'd have to be impressed with the Auburn defense at the moment. I think this is a big spot for Auburn. But if you're curious about what Georgia versus Auburn in November looks like, this game against Mississippi State may go a long way towards telling you that. You see right now Kentucky, South Carolina listed as a South Carolina. That's a -2.5. That game is actually probably moved up more like 3 now. You'd probably have a hard time finding 2.5. If you can, I think South Carolina is a huge play. Even at 3, I think the Gamecocks are probably better than Kentucky. I said before the start of the season that Kentucky was my pick to finish last in the SEC East. I haven't seen anything yet this season to change my mind on that. If you are heading for a last place, you lose this game here. I don't have a ton of trust for South Carolina right now. I took them last week and I lost, but I'll take them again here against Kentucky. Moving right along with some national games, I believe that Notre Dame wins against Virginia, but I think they're beaten up after Georgia, and I think they've heard a lot of praise for how close they kept against the Dogs. That's a recipe for disaster. Virginia did not look great last week against Old Dominion, but I believe in what could be rainy conditions, they keep it closer than the experts think against the Fighting Irish. I think that Jacob Eason has a good game on Saturday. I think Washington coasts against USC. USC, a lot of injuries at the quarterback position, plus Chris Peterson against Clay Helton. That's a coaching mismatch in favor of the Huskies. I think Washington's a pretty good play there. Clemson has not really gotten going as of yet. They're on the road at UNC on Saturday. UNC listed most spots as a 26.5 point underdog at the moment. I believe that Mack Brown may have just enough magic to keep this one a little bit close. Until the Clemson offense really breaks out, and up to this point in time, it just kind of hasn't. But until it breaks out, I am going to kind of be on the side of the underdog here to at least keep that one a little bit close. And then finally, and something tells me the results of this game we may end up talking about a little bit. Ohio State goes to Nebraska. Game day is going to be there on Saturday. Nebraska, big underdog, 17.5 point underdog in Lincoln. Probably be a rabid crowd. Nebraska desperately needs something. Scott Frost, the coach there, desperately needs something. I think the right side on this is probably Nebraska, but let's say I'm wrong on that for a moment. Now, I don't think Nebraska wins. I just think they cover the spread. But let's say I'm wrong on that for a moment. Let's say that Justin Fields has another really big game. He had 6 touchdowns last week, all in the second quarter. Ohio State nearly scored 80 points. Really, the Buckeyes haven't really played anybody yet of any merit whatsoever, but Fields has been doing great. Big performance at Indiana a couple of weeks ago, for instance. His first road start, passed that test with flying colors. This is definitely a step up in weight class here to go play Nebraska. If Fields looks really big here, if he plays really, really well here, when what is going to be essentially among the most paid attention to games of the weekend on what is kind of a light weekend, you better believe the Justin Fields talk is going to heat up and intensify. And all of a sudden, that thing that some fans have dreamed about or some media has dreamed about, a Jake Fromm versus Justin Fields playoff showdown, all of a sudden, after this Saturday, if Fields looks great again, that looms as a very real possibility. And that conversation after this past weekend could certainly heat up. We'll make that your SEC through. And here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger, you know, when we think about Kroger, we think about the weekend. And I know for a lot of you, as I said to our video audience before our show started today, A lot of you are left to wonder, well, what do we do this weekend? There's no Georgia football. That's normally the thing that occupies most of our Saturdays. You know, what is the story for this weekend? Well, as hot as it is, if your pool's still open in your neighborhood, you may be going to the pool or certainly on your back porch or your patio or your front porch, whatever else, down in the basement watching some games. Either way, whatever your weekend plans are, the best way to get stocked up for that is with our friends at Kroger. And Kroger also gives us a chance to look ahead for not just this weekend for Georgia, but a couple of upcoming weekends as well, because I wanted to take just a brief, quick moment here to look at the rest of the Georgia schedule, because I think the month of October, which we kind of normally think of as like the just the right the middle of the college football season where things get really, really intense, you know, the idea of the showdown Saturdays and things like that typically come in the month of October, at least historically that's been the case. But for Georgia this month, that's not going to really be the case. Can we show folks, at least for the folks watching on video, here's what the month of October looks like for Georgia. Now, you're going to sandwich this between a bye week this week, then it's at Tennessee, home for South Carolina on October the 12th, home for Kentucky on October the 19th, another bye, and that ends the month for Georgia. So in the month of October, you know, a weird schedule. This isn't a good thing or a bad thing or anything like that. It's just a thing. But you're talking about a weird, weird college football schedule. Georgia only plays three times in the month of October. Now, after that bye week on the 26th, obviously it gets really cranked up, and the one that around here we believe matters more than anything else, that showdown in Jacksonville against Florida on November 2nd. Then after that, it's, you know, Katie bar the door, batting down the hatches, and it's going to be, you know, 100 miles an hour to the finish line after that. But what a weird October for Georgia. Huge favorite in the three games that it does play. Two bye weeks will sandwich those games before starting the month of November with Florida. So after what was a pretty intense game this past Saturday and a lot of hot takes for the good and for the bad coming up about Georgia on that, probably a little bit of a lull for the next few weeks in terms of what we really feel like we know about Georgia. But for Kirby Smart, who wants to keep developing these young guys on defense, you know, outside linebackers and guys contributing to the havoc rate, young receivers, you know, these games the next couple of weeks will certainly be good stepping stones kind of getting that done, so that by the time that November rolls around and Georgia takes a big step up in competition, they will do so with a team that suddenly feels a lot more experienced because of what was gained by playing the Tennessee, South Carolinas, and Kentuckys of the world. It's our Kroger kickoff. It's presented by Kroger, and one thing that is on the way is flu season. Now, that's not good news, but here's what is good news, is that Kroger's got you covered when it comes to flu vaccinations. There's no appointment needed, and that's great, but what's even better is that you can get your flu shot at Kroger with a copay that can be as low as $0. So to find out more about this, check out Kroger.com/flu. That website, once again, Kroger.com/flu. Hope you'll check that out. All right, well, we will get ready to wrap up today's program, and as we do, I will tell you, we'll do our Gatorator Updater in just a moment. Something else I wanted to do here for a second, I wanted to look at what ESPN kind of has as Georgia's playoff odds right now. Heather Dinich has this up at ESPN.com right now, looking at various teams. That ESPN gives Clemson a 76.6% chance of making the playoff. Almost a 25% chance of winning the title. Alabama's at 70 for the playoff, 28.4 to win the national championship. Ohio State at 59% to make the playoff, 14.7 to win it all. Georgia, by comparison, all this is based on the ESPN FPI data, their, you know, power ratings and efficiency metrics, things like that. Georgia right now, 46.9% chance of making the playoff, 10% chance of winning the national championship. You can decide for yourself if you think that's a good number or not. Here's a number I know you think is going to be good, though. Gatorator Updater, 1,063 days. You'll have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday back here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger.